Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lights Up with Taylor Andrews. I'm Taylor Andrews, if you couldn't have guessed. So, just so you guys know a little bit about me, I am a huge, huge theater nerd, which you probably could have guessed with what based on what this podcast is about. But also, I'm majoring in musical theater. I am a freshman at Manhattanville University. Very fun, very cool place. So this podcast is going to be obviously about theater, but I wanted to delve into a little bit more of not only talking about shows and shows I've seen and loved and getting into some of their plots and what's important about the plot and ways different shows connect, but also just types of theater that aren't talked about as much. I feel like it's very, very, very common that when people want to talk about theater, they're talking about Broadway, which I love so much. Being in college in New York has been so wonderful to see so many wonderful, amazing Broadway shows. But there is more theater than just Broadway out there. And I feel like a lot of that type of theater just needs some more love sometimes. And what better way to talk about it and get the things I want talked about than to do it myself. So I actually started this podcast because I was in Disney about like a week ago. Will have been longer when this is out. I was in Disney March into April, and I had a lot of free time, a lot of time to kind of like find some stuff to do between rides. And I went and saw a bunch of different shows at Disney. And there's one show in particular that I saw that I will name drop later. But I was really wondering and concerned why we don't talk about this show in particular because it was so amazing. It was absolutely stunning. Like, I don't understand how this show hasn't picked up traction. So, yeah, let's get into some stuff. So, I thought it would be just a little helpful to get into a little bit of some of the history of Walt Disney World and Walt Disneyland and Walt Disney Corporation. This is so minimal, but I like to get into history of things a little bit, and also what was actually so frustrating is other than one example I'm about to give, I really couldn't find a lot about origins of theater in Walt Disney World Land Corporation. So Disneyland in Anaheim opened in 1955, and that was the first Disney theme park to be brought around to the world. So in 1963, Adventureland in Anaheim opened the Enchanted Tiki Room, which is also in Walt Disney World, and it has a bunch of animatronic birds that sing to the group, and they have moving flowers, drumming tikis, talking birds that come in and out. So that was really the first example I could find of some type of theatrical production put on live in the park. Even though it's not live performers, it is technically a live performance. And I found this information on the Walt Disney Imagineering website, just so you know that I'm like checking references and like giving credit where credit is due. It's really interesting to me that honestly the Tiki Room is still running. Not in the sense that it's bad. I enjoy it, it's cute, it's nothing to be like head over heels about, but it's really nice. It's a nice excuse to get off your feet for a few minutes. It's a cute experience. The songs are cute. The birds are like cool to look at. It's very visually cool. But it's just really interesting that this was kind of the first innovation into performance in theater. But then when we get to actual live performance, live theater, it's so much harder to find any recollection of it. So I just wanted to take some time after that to cover a few shows in Walt Disney World, Walt Disneyland, etc., etc. These are a bit more focused on live performance, so not quite like the Tiki Room. A year ago, I saw Beauty and the Beast live on stage in Hollywood Studios. And Beauty and the Beast is my favorite musical. Like, I would actually hack off a limb to play Belle. And it was just so interesting with that in particular because the girl playing Belle, so extremely talented, beautiful voice, beautiful dancer, great actress. The background dancers were phenomenal. Be Our Guest was such an amazing number, such a good spectacle to see. But The cutting of it is kind of weird. So I'm gonna hope everyone is familiar with Beauty and the Beast. If not, bare rundown, this girl Belle is very intelligent and feels trapped in her life in this French village she lives in. And everyone's like, girl, you're so pretty, why do you keep reading books? And this guy Gaston is like, stop reading books and just marry me. And she's like, ew. Her dad gets kidnapped by this beast, she goes to save him, etc., etc. They end up falling in love, they fight Gaston, she transforms the beast back into a human, they live happily ever after. So I feel like a lot of you are wondering why I even took the time to give a synopsis of Beauty and the Beast. And a lot of that answer lies with my dad. Because apparently, my dad doesn't know Beauty and the Beast like at all, and I learned that during Beauty and the Beast live on stage. Because Beauty and the Beast live on stage is about a 20, 25, 30 minute adaptation of the entire story. So a lot of the plot gets cut out. Belle's dad, Maurice, doesn't even show up. Literally, we finish the opening number, Belle. She's like, I want much more than this provincial life. And there's a narrator that's just like, in a series of events, Belle ends up being held captive by this beast. And what was so interesting about it is we leave the show, and my dad's like, I don't understand why they were painting this Gaston guy to seem like a villain. Because really, the only two few times Gaston shows up in this version of the production is in Belle, where, he's like, I'm gonna marry this girl. And then again, to fight the beast. So, I personally enjoyed it. My little Beauty and the Beast heart felt so full that I could even experience something live with it. It is a bit of a weird show because it does get a little confusing. I also wanted to take a moment just to highlight Cirque du Soleil, Drawn to Life in Disney Springs. I unfortunately have not gotten to see that parentheses yet, hopefully. But Cirque du Soleil is just so fascinating to me. That's something that I've always wished I was able to do because I'm not flexible. I wasn't in dance throughout my life. I can't tumble. I can't bolt over myself. I hate heights. I'm like low-key scared of heights. So Cirque du Soleil has always been such a fascination of mine. Acrobatic work has always been such a fascination of mine. And I think that work like that, like circ work, has always been kind of so inaccessible. You kind of have to hope you just catch it when it's touring near you. And if you don't really know what it is, I feel like it's harder to get people to like want to go and be interested in checking it out and see what's up. And so I just love that Disney is making that type of work a little more accessible because it's such fascinating work, so hard to do. And really, the only time I've seen it mainstream accessible other than that is with Water for Elephants, which closed back in December. And thank God Water for Elephants is touring because that show was so visually stunning. Not only was the music amazing, but visually, I could not peel my eyes away. So that short little tangent is over. I love Cirque. I think we need a little more love for our acrobat friends in the world. On to the show that for some reason I hear no one talk about. And the reason for this podcast being recorded. And that show is Festival of the Lion King in Animal Kingdom. I was walking around Animal Kingdom. I was by myself for the day. And so I'd rode Mount Everest like three times by this point. I was like, I'm tired. I want to get off my feet. I think I literally walked to Africa. Like the Africa section of the park, just because I was like, oh, I don't think I've been over there yet. And I was literally about to leave, and I see this sign, Festival of the Lion King. And I almost turned around and didn't go in. And the only reason I did go in is because I'm signed up for the Disney casting website and I get their Instagram posts. Because even though I'm in college right now, one of my big dreams is to be a princess in the parks, or maybe even get to be in like the Beauty and the Beast live on stage or some other show like that in the parks. And so they had actually posted a few days before I left saying that they were looking for new acrobats for Festival of the Lion King. And that just like managed to click in my brain that I was like, oh my God, wait. This show I think has like acrobatics or something like that. That's so cool. let me check this out. So I go in, and something that I really thought was cool about Festival of the Lion King is everything else, not like everything else, but a lot of the other things I've experienced is kind of either like an outdoor amphitheater or set up a little more movie theater style. This was a audience on all four sides. I love like in the round type theaters of that because it makes it so much more immersive. You feel like you're experiencing something a lot more real because you don't catch everything. And that's what I love about like Circle in the Square theater is that it feels real and raw and like you're actually like sitting in an actual moment. So it had like bleacher style seating for all four sides. It was in an air-conditioned building, which was so nice and made it better too. And you start out with these vocalists, four vocalists who walk out and they're kind of doing crowd work and working with people and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is cute. And then they're like, oh, Simba's here. Oh my God. And then this big curtain opens that was blocking the entrance, and there's these big parade floats coming in. And there's a giant animatronic Simba and Pumbaa, and there's like a mascot in the Timon outfit, which was so fascinating already because like it was already visually so cool. And then we have music sung by these vocalists who all four were so insanely talented and should be absolutely employed forever. Not only was their acting and interacting with the audience great, but their voices were gorgeous and lovely. So one of the floats gets pulled open at one point, and it's a bunch of padding and a trampoline, which I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. And then there are about four, I believe, men in monkey costumes who are doing all of this acrobatic work, and they're doing stuff with rings where they're like the rings you hold onto for gymnastics and like the bars that you like see people spin on and go between. I am not well versed in gymnastics, so a lot of this is probably going to be like incorrect wording wise, but bear with me. And so they're doing all these tumbling tricks. They're like jumping off the bar and landing on the trampoline on their back, and from the rebound off the trampoline or landing on each other's shoulders. And it was this insane acrobatic work that has to be so hard to do and takes so much coordination, and it's visually stunning. And so I'm already like, oh my God, like, what did I just walk into? This is amazing. This is so much better than what I was expecting. So we get through that. And also, what was really cool is Festival of the Lion King incorporated a lot of different music from the movie. And so I don't remember what song was going on during this, but Timon was singing. It was this fun, great thing. It was such a blast. And then we move on, and one of the vocalists comes out in this like dark, scary outfit and is singing Be Prepared. And this guy, this like baton twirler guy, comes out, but the baton's on fire. So he's like fire twirling and he's literally holding the fire with his bare hands at one point. And when he comes out, only one side of it is lit, and he literally puts the fire on his bare hand and uses that to transfer the fire to the other side so that both sides are lit. And it's this spectacle of him like twirling the fire baton while Be Prepared is going on. And at one point, he's on his back and the fire's like sitting on his bare feet. And it was so insanely badass and cool. Like, Disney really knew what edgy, dance, risky thing can we put with this to make it even cooler. And they were like, hell yeah, fire. And it was amazing. It worked so great. And then we get to Can You Feel the Love Tonight, which is just such a beautiful song for starters. Like, the two vocalists duetting it sounded beautiful. And we have these two women in bird costumes dancing. And this is something where I could tell this because I haven't danced long, but when you start doing things like ballet and like learning the technique and the fundamentals, it makes it easier for you to catch on and notice the technique and the fundamentals. So these two women were so well trained. Like, they had the pointed feet, they had the straight lines, and it just, when you start learning what some of this technique is and you see this technique properly executed, it makes it 20 times more enjoyable to watch. And it helps you really understand how gorgeous and beautiful this thing that you're watching really is. So these two women are doing a duet together. They're dancing together, and there's like a cord from the ceiling that gets hooked to the one girl, and she goes like flying across the room, and she's doing spins in midair, which for starters, I know this would be hard anyway, but my nerd's gonna show a little bit. I watched a lot of Abby's Ultimate Dance Competition, which was like a sort of Dance Mom spinoff. And there was a dance kind of similar to what I'm talking about right now, where one of the girls competing, I believe Mikaylee, had to do a dance where she was like on this wire, and at one point she like swings out over the stage and she's having to do pretty much like pirouettes in midair. And one of the things they talk about on the show is how technically difficult that is, and that even if you're an amazing dancer, you could like be able to never do that because you have to have so much strength in your core, and like you have to be able to hold yourself centered, and it takes all of this extra technique, and it looked so effortless in this show that I was watching. And so I was literally sitting there watching this show, thinking, how the hell has this not been talked about? Because I have friends that are like are obsessed with Disney World, Disneyland, etc. I have friends who have gone so many more times than I have and have like gotten to experience literally everything. And I look at like the Disney Food Blog YouTube channel and I look at this, that, and the other, and I don't hear anyone talk about this show, which is insane. Because literally, it felt like sitting in the audience of a professional production, which it is a professional production. I shouldn't say that. But it felt like sitting in like a Broadway audience. It was just this performance on par with like the top of what you expect. And I feel like sometimes you go somewhere like Disney or you go somewhere that's like not Broadway and you don't get your hopes up as much as you should. Because this show was absolutely phenomenal. The finale was Circle of Life. They bring everyone back out. So we've got like the tumbling monkeys again. We've got like the guy that was fire spinning. I forget what he was doing because he wasn't fire spinning again, but it was something else that was just really, really cool. We've got the two birds dancing again. We've got the girl, one girl back up in the air swinging around like the gym type place. And yeah, I just can't sing the praises of this show enough. So fascinating, so phenomenal. I think anyone that ever goes to Disney needs to see it. This was also my first time in Animal Kingdom, so I really didn't know what to expect. I would go back to Animal Kingdom just to get to see this show again because I was in love with it from the start. And yeah, so that's a bit of a review of some of the shows around Walt Disney World, etc., etc. So yeah. So now that we got through kind of just some of the theater in the parks and some of the live performances that you're able to access while you're in Disney World, I just wanted to take a split second. This should hopefully be so quick, but I'm a yapper, so we'll see. And talk about kind of just the accessibility of musical theater that is Disney. Disney is obviously very musical theater inspired, related, however you want to phrase it. And so that warms my heart so much because sometimes it feels very easy to feel like the only way that you can kind of intake this culture and intake musical theater is you have to go to Broadway and dump your guts of life savings into these tickets. And so I just really, really love that Disney has kind of found a way to bring musical theater into the world and make it more accessible because it's a lot easier to sit down in the audience of Frozen than it is to go see Idina Menzel in Redwood, which you should do, by the way, because Redwood was so, so good. But yeah, so I just think, as someone who wants to do this with her life, not only is it so refreshing to see that it's more accessible and that places like Disney and their films are making more people become interested in it, But it's really refreshing as a performer to know that there are so many more opportunities out there in the world than what I was aware of when I first wanted to walk into performance. When I decided I want to go to school for musical theater, which was not recently at all, I've had my mind made up on this for years. But when I made this decision, I was under the impression that if I wasn't actively on Broadway, I would never be working. And we can get into this later at some point, maybe, but I think that's such a horrible misconception that gets beaten into the brains of all of these young performers because there's this energy of if you don't make it on Broadway, you haven't really made it. When we have all of these amazing, uber beyond talented touring productions, we have regional theaters who are doing amazing work, we have these Disney performers who are so beyond talented and deserve all of this recognition that they don't always fully get. And so it just, sitting down and watching Festival of the Lion King, A, made me want to talk about it. Because there is so much talent in that room that I feel like doesn't get talked about very often. And not only was I like, I want to talk about these talented people, but I want to talk about more talented people. And yes, some days I'm going to talk about Broadway because at the end of the day, Broadway is amazing and the people on it are amazing. But at the end of the day, there's also all of these amazing, phenomenal, talented people doing things that aren't just Broadway. And so I'll get off my soapbox for the day. Comma, but thank you so much for tuning in, and I'm so excited to get to continue talking about all of this stuff. You know, theater is a passion of mine, if I hadn't made that clear, yapping on for 22 plus minutes. But I just think that there's so much to be recognized and looked into and observed, and there's so much to live through theater. And so I'm excited to keep delving into this with you guys.